Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true servant leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less stress and drama. So let's start making magic. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Create Magic at Work. Today, I'm really excited to share this guest with you. I met her at the UC Berkeley annual coaching conference last year. She was presenting at the exact same time as me, so we didn't get a chance to really connect. And so we did via Zoom afterwards. And I said, oh my gosh, I have to have you on the Create Magic at Work podcast to share your knowledge with the listeners. So the guest today is Taiwo Onibokun. She works for Yahoo and Edgecast. She's the director of revenue operations. Taiwo graduated from UCD in Denver with a bachelor's degree in communications, minoring in technology management, and she received an MBA from UOPX and recently was part of the 2021, as I mentioned, BECI, that's the Berkeley Executive Coaching Institute, February class. Taiwo is an advocate for leadership development via story sharing and creating inspirational moments that drive pivotal momentum for change. Taiwo's number one motivation are her kids. They challenge her to do more for her community and be a positive example for turning pain into progression. Ooh, I love that. She works to impact the future for all children, where someday they too will have a seat at the decision-making table based on individual contributions, talent, and never sex, race, or creed. Taiwo, welcome to Create Magic at Work.
Hi. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm doing well.
It always shocks me when people read that. I'm like, wow. Okay, that's me.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing well, but this is a confessional right now. I typically drink a lot of caffeine in the morning. I know I probably shouldn't. But I'm only on a one cup of coffee. So if I say something funky today, the listeners can laugh because I need some more caffeine. But anyways.
I will give you grace. I will give you grace.
Thank you. Thank you. So Taiwo, when we were talking, I was so impressed by the way you were discussing how you virtually connected with your teams. And I wanted you to share some of those tips with the listeners because, you know, a lot of workplaces are hybrid right now or completely virtual. And working as the director of revenue operations for Yahoo, you run a team internationally, correct?
Global. Yep. Yeah. It's a global team.
So can you like elaborate on how you keep everyone connected? I was really impressed by it.
Well, for me, I think it started off with the idea that 2020, I've been a bi-coastal, you know, manager for over 20 years and have had employees in different states. And so they're technically virtual. Some of them I've had also managed remote employees for years. The pandemic was not necessarily a new uptake of that, but what it created was when all your employees, all your partners, all your vendors, everyone is remote, it's a whole different dynamic. You don't get that coffee, water, cooler moment. It's hard to kind of know how a person's feeling. If you have a conflict, it could take weeks to resolve the conflict because you're on back-to-back meetings. You don't get to bump into them at the cafeteria and clear the air. So it's kind of like a whole new kind of ball game in how you deal with what you call conflict management, interpersonal relationships, EQ. How do I know you're happy or not happy? And so what I found is that as a leader, I had to all of a sudden become a real juggler of the emotion. Some employees did not want to turn their camera on and they will tell you right away, well, HR says, I don't have to. Can't mandate it, mm-hmm. right? And so how do you know if they're hearing you, the heart of meaning, as they say in coaching, the heart of meaning of what you're trying to say? Mm-hmm. And so I found out that I could not just rely on a meeting to connect. I had to Slack, which is a tool we use. Slack between meetings, call people's cell phone between meetings, check up on them and don't call them just for the project update or a delegation effort, to really call and say, how are you doing today? Just checking up on you. I heard you were sick last week. I heard your kids are back home from school. Something personal that lets them go, wow, she really cares. She's not just calling me to check on a project or delegation effort, she's literally asking me how I'm doing. And then I also did a strategic thing in my mind of when I usually take an hour meeting and it would just be all about the next item, pragmatically, what's going on, what, give me a size of a round table, and spend 15 minutes, sometimes 20, just doing a check the room, check the environment. How are you feeling? What's the best thing that happened to you last week? What happened over the weekend you want to share? Just really getting people to talk about things that were not work related. I felt like it changed the morale in my org, and it allowed people to directly feel connected to their leader and connected to the company. In relations to my vendors and my cross-functional teams, I did a lot more reach out in Slack. Don't wait for a meeting to connect with these people, because these people are doing things for me. And so the art of the relatability for me in dealing with those cross-functional teams is that there's a service I need from them. And for me to get that service from them, I still need to stay connected. And before, again, you could get connected at a water cooler or at the lab cafeteria, or let's take a walk outside around the building. Those things are ended. So for those cross-functional teams, I took a huge effort to make sure I was slacking, doing off-cut meetings that had nothing to do with our scheduled meetings, our scheduled cadence. It's a lot of work, but it starts to feel like not work, because I think from 2020 to 2021 to 2022, it really became intentional relationships and intentional connections.
I find that so interesting.
Probably the same way I met you.
Yeah. I find it so interesting that people really want to feel like they matter. That, you know, I think it's Oprah said it. They want to feel seen, heard, and like they mattered. And then I'm like, wow, they want to feel that way. But then when we go on Zoom in meetings, they want to turn all their cameras off too, because they don't want to be seen. So that paradox.
They call it Zoom exhaustion or something like that. Yeah. Fatigue. No, Zoom fatigue.
Zoom fatigue. Right. That paradox is really interesting to me. And what I think is so great about your leadership tip or recommendation is, you know, if you recognize that someone is sitting with their camera turned off all the time and not participating, a really great way is to reach out to them personally, especially if you're running large teams, to just really check in and see how they're doing. Yeah. I'm curious about, you have me thinking with the water cooler talk and being able to resolve conflict personally, you know, on a break in the break room or by the water cooler. There's a book by Dana Zohar that I talk about a lot. She's done a ton of work in spiritual intelligence, and it's called The Quantum Leader. And she talks about how one company brought in a consulting team to help them get better. And they analyzed everybody's work, and their recommendation to the company was too many people were hanging out by the water cooler, and so they weren't being productive. Like, this gets interesting. And so this company removed all of the water cooler areas, and guess what happened? Productivity went down, profit went down, and what they discovered was these side conversations that these team members were having that quote unquote wasn't work, was their break. They were actually sharing tips on how to do things better in the projects they were working on.
Correct.
And so you have me thinking, okay, we went virtual and some people seem to love it because yes, it shaved their commute down, or they might have more time with their family. However, leaders in your position that are listening to this need to keep that innovation fresh. And the way you keep it fresh is you keep the casual conversation by the water cooler. I know you've done it. I want to hear, like, how long in a Zoom meeting would you let everyone chat about what's going on in their life? And, like, what are some other things you've done?
I've spent up to 30 minutes of my meeting, of an hour meeting, talking about nothing.
But it was something, right?
Well, I mean, of course, but I mean, the person's talking about, I'm talking, this is my direct staff only, not like cross-functional teams, but I would say my direct staff up to talking about their plant or their garden, or talking about a resort that they went to over the weekend, or talking about their kids. And I truly believe it's essential for me to make sure that they feel that they see each other. They see each other, right? And I know that I have a weekly one-on-one. And so I'm not going to lose insight into all the other projects. I know it.
Yeah.
Right. And so I stop sweating this idea of like, we're not being productive, but I want our meetings to be intentional, an intentional reconnection to the larger picture of synergy and our connective tissue as a leader. If my job as a leader is to make them feel like they are connected as a team and it increases their comfortability reaching out to each other when I'm not present, I've got an A, right? And so I want them to feel connected in that 1 hour with me, that this is my teammate. Andrew's my teammate. Kelly's my teammate. Jasmine's my teammate. These are my team. And then I don't need Taiwo to connect that tissue. I will call them when I need them. And so I do work hard on that, but I had to change my mind frame. I'm not saying I was always like that. I used to be very pragmatic. You make 5 minutes of, how you doing? Hello, how you all doing? Great, let's get started. That is me to a T. But I realized in the pandemic, for me to survive the lack of connective walking to a person's cubicle and going, how you doing? And leaning over their cubicle and having a chilled conversation that's not work-related was lost. Even I was talking in a women's panel once, and I talked about career momentum as women. I feel, and as BIPOCs, I literally felt like we had lost it by not having that ability to walk around the conference room in a cute outfit and someone from the management side said, who's that? Who's that person? Who's that ball of energy? Right. And you lose an ability to be seen because you're not in every meeting. I'm not at every table. And so sometimes the way you see me is you bump into an executive getting his fresh cup of coffee. You go, hey, how you doing, Chris? And all of a sudden, that's your 3 second or 30 second elevator speech. We all lost that.
Wow.
And a lot, and mostly people impacted are BIPOC and women, people in underrepresented groups, because all of a sudden you don't have the ability. You're not at every table. You're not in every meeting. Some of the best opportunities to connect an executive is when they're getting their lunch, or they're getting a cup of water, or they're getting their coffee, a refill. And I've had many opportunities in my 20-year career to connect an executive at that 30-second opportunity. And the next thing I know, it turned into a meeting where I'm at the table.
Hey, Magic Makers, Amy here. Listen, I wanted to say to all of you, don't get hung up on the word spiritual. Spiritual intelligence is a faith-neutral practice, and it can be accessed by almost anyone. Your spiritual intelligence experience will be unique to you, and often it starts with making wise and compassionate decisions for yourself, and also working on boundaries and protecting your energy. Let me help guide you to lose the stress and overwhelm and feel that deeper sense of meaning in your life. Spiritually intelligent people practice making wise and compassionate decisions, even under great stress, and maintain inner and outer peace while doing so. You can't fake spiritual intelligence, but with some inner work, you'll be able to feel and exude this energy, and everybody around you will notice and want to follow suit. Think about what your ripple effect is in this world and how you want to leave it. If you're interested in going on this transformational journey, reach out to me. Email Amy at createmagicatwork.net or go to createmagicatwork.net/work with me. Sending magic to everyone. Gosh, I love hearing this perspective. Yeah.
So going virtual is not as sexy as people think it is. There is a lot of loss to it. Like the other component in the beginning that I realized was harder for women is like men could get out of bed, throw on a t-shirt, throw some water on their hair and get into a camera.
Right.
Certainly it's not like that for women. Got to fluff your hair. And nobody will say this as an unwritten rule that for women, bottom line, and no one's going to say it, you're going to be better heard if you're a little prettier. I don't care if nobody's saying you want to delete that one out of there. I'm fine. But I'm just saying at the end of the day, a woman has to come on and just be a little cuter to be heard.
It speaks to, so you're speaking to a lot of different systems that need to change in the workplace, right? Because we're working in systems that weren't built for, some are working in systems that weren't built for them, for us. We either have to, one, adapt and quote unquote play the game, or we cut out and try to play our own game because we've had it, or we want to just try something different, like a solopreneur like me.
Correct.
And I remember being frustrated in my old corporate executive job because I felt like some of my peers weren't, how do you not get this, or how, you know, why are you acting this way in this meeting? And it sort of hit me like, well, they signed up for the game. They signed up to work this system, to play the game, to pay their bills, or whatever the case may be, rather than change the rules, which is what you and I want to do. And so I was like, okay, I can live with that. There's that safety feeling. There's the scarcity feeling. And yeah, I mean, it makes me angry when you say a woman has to show up looking a lot better on camera than a man. But at the same time, it's a truth in some workspaces. And it's a shame. And it's unfortunate. And this is why.
And sometimes I used to say it's unfortunate for the women that don't know the rules.
True. And this is why people feel like they can't. There's a lot of reasons, but this is one of the reasons why people feel like they can't be their authentic self at work. Mm-hmm. And they have to put masks on. Because a lot of companies are like, yeah, we want you to be your authentic self, but it needs to look like this.
They don't say it, though.
Right. But you need to be like us. And then what happens is you put the us mask on. And if you're in the quantum leadership space, if someone's wearing an us mask, you're losing out on the unique capabilities that that individual can bring to the table for innovation and inspiration. And there's a ton of talk on LinkedIn and in all kinds of different podcasts about Zoom fatigue and connecting virtually. And clearly Create Magic at Work has all activities leadership can do virtually or in person. That's why I wrote the book. I just really want to thank you for your honesty and what's really going on out there and how it can not be a good thing for people. Because like you said, you can't bump into someone and have a human conversation with them anymore. And I think that the majority of leadership in high, high levels are white men. And I hope they're hearing this, because what happens is you tend to gravitate towards the people that you're comfortable with, chit-chatting with. And then you lose out on having this amazing conversation with Taiwo. And so you have to make that extra effort when you're working virtually to reach out to those that you normally wouldn't speak with and just check on them and see how they're doing. It's so simple, but we've already talked like 15 minutes about it.
I just got chills on what you said. Reach out to someone that you would not normally speak to. That was literally my goal in 2020. I met so many new people I never spoken to. On top of meeting people that I normally would not speak to, I was also engaging with people that I work with all the time. But that was beautiful what you just said. And executives could do what you call water cooler meetings, where you could just pop into their Slack at any given time. And people might be bold. They may be shy. They may not do it. But executives could also do what you call it water cooler meetings, where they just schedule random people that come into a pod and they just shoot the breeze. And some of our executives are trying to do that. I think somebody must have given them an idea. But it was awkward when we went to the first one, because you really should, as an executive, understand that many people in this organization are introverts. They're shy. They're not used to the fact that you're giving them this space or this platform. And they could have come with questions already prepared. Make it warm. Do a round table saying, tell me who you are, where you come from. Milk up the time without having this awkwardness of it. I think it could have been done a little bit better, but he didn't ask my opinion. But ultimately, I think they are hearing some people. Maybe someone's hearing it around the way that we've got to change the way we connect to our organization. It can't just be meeting by meeting by meeting. How do you get to hear the other voices that will never connect to you in a meeting?
And the deep, deep understanding that actually gives you a competitive edge, that actually creates innovation, inspiration, employee retention. Yes. All of those things, it's that, right?
Yeah.
It sounds so simple, but a courageous, vulnerable leader is someone that's going to do these simple things, because you're going to have to untie the robot that you were and not feel scared that you're losing productivity if you're having a casual conversation, and really understand that you're gaining productivity. I could go on and on. Okay. Yeah. So I want to talk to you about your book that's coming out. Tell us a little bit about it and why you decided to start writing it.
Okay. So I was inspired again. I've been writing it, have notebooks, notes everywhere for years. But what inspired me to start really getting into finishing it out was 2020. I felt like I was the first time ever where my leadership was stretched beyond my capacity almost. Like I wasn't even aware of my true potential until 2020. I've always been a high performing, high leading leader, but all of a sudden I had to amp up my emotional intelligence, my spiritual connection to leadership in 2020, and my spiritual connection to compassion. Employees were losing friends and family members to COVID. Our streets were shaken up by social unrest. And it was the first time ever where it was pivotal as a leader that I was an African American. When I spent many years working to have my executives and coworkers see me for my contributions and not my skin color, I finally realized it was the first time ever where I couldn't sit in silence, because me being complacent was a decision, was being a coward, was a failure of leadership, and I was ashamed of myself. And so as I was looking at it, I thought, how else can I journal this, a lot of these thousands of things going through my head, but use the Tai Wo spin to it, which is this idea of progression, positivity, action-oriented view of thinking about things versus just sitting in my misery, sitting in my pain, or sitting in my sadness, right? And so I started journaling more. And then I thought, you know what? My perspective is not, Black people perspective is not monolithic by any chance. Any person, human person's experience is not monolithic. We have various stories of experiences. I said, you know what? I'm curious what I'm good at. I'm a people connector. So let me find out what others think before I do this whole, the corporate experience, a Black girl's guide through corporate America, the art of relatability was what I was calling my book. And I thought, well, you know what? What makes wisdom is hearing from a population, a community. And so I start talking to people, and that woke me up. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. And I've read books like The Memo. I've read a lot of books with this idea of like the corporate woman's experience or a corporate person's experience in a BIPOC or, group. And I thought, what would make mine different? I really want to hear the stories. I talk to people in the LGBTQ community and their experience. One woman telling a story about never telling, she was a beautiful woman, like supermodel beautiful, saying she'd never told a story about her wife. Didn't feel comfortable because she was in a male-run ad tech selling space and would go out to dinner and to events and let men flirt with her. I was floored at how much I learned from speaking to these women. And I spoke to men too. But as I was collecting their stories to me felt more powerful than my even story, because they gave wisdom and how they overcame it and how they were able to be their authentic self in an environment where they weren't the most underrepresented. And so the story shaped my book more than my own personal experience. My mother's being American from South Carolina, she definitely talked about discrimination. But my father talked about discrimination very differently, because in his country, there's presidents that are Black on their money. They're pilots that are Black. Their presidents are Black. Their leaders are Black. Their doctors are Black. Everyone is of their same, you know, they're all looking alike, right? And so I got an immigrant experience. I got a LGBT community experience. I got a woman who was in a biracial relationship. Her husband's white. I was just listening to these different stories and floored. I got millennials, different generations, millennials' view of today's discrimination compared to what Generation X thinks. I was learning from the interviews and just floored, right? Like literally understanding that for millennials, they see it very different than we see it. Yeah. Generation X, I'm 46.
You know, I have to tell you, what you're describing is honest and real, and what people don't want to look at. And it's also a couple of skills in the SQ21, the spiritual intelligence journey or experience. And it's, what is your skill level 1 to 5 on your awareness of your own worldview? And then another skill in a higher skill level is, are you aware that your worldview isn't the only worldview? And when you ask people that, they say, yeah, I know what my worldview is. Yeah, I know. But do you really? And you literally took a journey on gaining a deep understanding of what other people's worldviews are, rather than guessing or just talking about your own experience. And so I'm wondering if we could tie this in to, what did you learn from gaining all this knowledge of learning other people's worldviews, really, as far as I want to tie it into servant leadership. And I want to hear your feedback on what came out of that as far as what you feel a servant leader is.
So I'm going to tell you something. This is like, give me grace as you hear this part. I think too, during the journey, and I love the fact you use the word journey, the writing the book has been a journey for me of self, self-reflection and self-love and self-learning. That when all the Asian hate was happening, I would normally just like, that's not my business. It's not in my corner. You know, I feel bad for them and then just the way it is. From learning from my book was that everyone's story deserves to be heard. Everyone deserves to be validated in some sense. And I actually had employees from the Asian community and I had coworkers from the Asian community. First time in my entire life, I reached out personally to each of them. And I said, I hear you. I stand with you and I support you. And I said the same thing to every one of them. Some of them broke down in tears and I was shocked at the power of me acknowledging them as a BIPOC woman, as a Black American woman, acknowledging what was happening, acknowledging that they are a community banding together to stop it. I even did some things I would normally not do, like post on my Instagram, I stop Asian hate, which I normally wouldn't. I'm very pro activist on my community, right? And I let go of this idea because a lot of African Americans were like, where were the Asians for us? And there was a lot of negativity with the whole mix of it. And then this idea of like, oh, well, Asians are the good minority, blah, blah, blah. They're all this antagonizing negativity. And I said, it doesn't matter. If you lead with one person making an effort, even if they don't. And I think I now have one of my Asian friends who chronically is reposting stuff about African Americans. And she's just completely changed her because that one, you just have to do one impact when she may not have before. But me reaching out and saying, hey, I'm here with you. I stand with you. I'm against this, you know, I'm keeping you guys in my prayers, that whole kindness. And so I think when I heard that Jamaican lady and I heard the LGBT community person tell me their story, even though I have a sister who's part of the LGBT community, my twin sister, I don't think I truly understood what it feels like to not be comfortable in your own skin, even though you're both Black women. I didn't truly understand that. And it actually connected me with my sister even more. I would say, some people say, don't just tolerate me, celebrate me. It changed the dynamic of me and my twin sister's relationship to a point where when she tells me a story about dating, I actually listen differently than I listened before. I listen now as I would to just her having a healthy relationship, listening to her about how she feels about that partner and what they're doing to her or not doing to her. It changed the way I see her. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So I'm going to tell you what you just said in SQ spiritual intelligence talk. Your journey with your leadership, with interviewing these others, actually increased your awareness of the interconnectedness of life.
Yes. Wow, you're good.
And so, and what it did was it made you a better servant leader because of that. And that is really beautiful because you're actually hearing and seeing the people you work with at a higher level. And you're also, clearly, we all know this, it ran into your personal life.
It did.
You really went on this spiritual intelligence journey and you worked on these skills and improved the levels of them. You know, your awareness of the interconnectedness of life is probably increased dramatically from this case study you've done. Interviewing all these individuals. And I like to share a really great exercise to do in that skill, the awareness of the interconnectedness of life is, you know, if you're just driving down the street, you skill build in that area. You look at someone and you say, I am that. I am. I am that. I am.
I am that. I am.
I am that. I am. It's called the Moses Code, or they talk about it as the Moses Code. It's basically, you can find it on YouTube. But it talks about how the Bible was misinterpreted when Moses went to talk to God and he got God's name and God said, I am that I am. They say that the comma was placed in the wrong spot. So I am that I am, instead of the comma being after I am, the comma is after I am that I am.
Purpose is to make it more relatability to others.
It brings this deep awareness. I am that. I am you. What I see in you is a reflection of me. we are all one. And I feel like you discovered that at a deep level with your journey.
I did.
I am that. I am. It removes the separateness because everyone has a story, like you said. And you understand that everyone is here trying to avoid pain and suffering, trying to experience joy. Mm-hmm. And that also elevates your leadership as far as being able to make wise and compassionate decisions for others. So thank you for sharing that. With every guest, I pull a card meant for you from the universe, from my journal prompt card deck. And this is also for the listeners. This message is for you as well. So I'm going to shuffle up the deck here a little bit. This one just keeps popping out. So I'm just going to, of course, we got innovation.
Okay.
We were talking about innovation a lot during the conversation with the water cooler. So the universe always does this to me. Yeah. It always like the card flies out that we were talking about, which is really cool. So the affirmation is, I honor imaginative ideas by writing them down. And
imaginary ideas.
Yes. And I think we've answered a lot of these questions already. But one of the questions for you, Taiwo, is, do you have an idea that you can share for progress that some may be overlooking?
Okay. So what I tell my employees, I'll use it in a professional sense, is that progress is not always a tangible thing. And they go, what do you mean? You mean you don't want a finished product to grade me? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that sometimes progress is all the effort that you took to get there. The meetings, the findings, the education, the case study, all the things you took to get to a ticket that might be entered into PI that will be then discussed from a prioritization perspective. Thus progress too. And then I read something once on Instagram or, you know, or LinkedIn. I don't know what it was. I loved it. And I forever pitched this. It's like this idea of, don't just wait till you complete it to cheer yourself on, right? You should be cheering yourself on the entire road trip there. You should be patting yourself on the back saying, I did a good job today. I'm proud of myself all the way through until you finish. And so to me, progress is about keep on moving.
Enjoying the journey.
You gotta keep on
moving. Yeah, I love that. Celebrating the small steps.
Enjoying the journey.
Thank you for sharing that. It's enjoying the journey and not always looking towards the destination. So there's a Native American passage that talks about enjoying the journey and also celebrating failure. And I have to talk about this because we pulled the innovation card. I'm getting like super passionate about it because one of the qualities of being a quantum leader is understanding that innovation and inspiration come from the edge of chaos and mistakes. And this Native American passage says, I'm just going to read you one part of it. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for dreams, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. There's a lot of astrology popularity right now, and I love it as well. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you've been opened by life's betrayals or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, be realistic, or to remember the limitations of being a human. It doesn't interest me if the story you're telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself, if you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul. And this is the part that I was getting at. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand on the edge of a lake and shout to the silver moon, yes. And it goes on and on. But I almost cry when I read this every time because it's like, yes, like you tried. Mm-hmm. Like, can you stand in your failure and shout, yes? And it's about enjoying.
No.
Well, you brought that up. I mean,
you. A work in progress.
Wow, you really hit on that with enjoying the journey.
I mean, it's true, but I mean, it's a work in progress.
Yes.
Chronically.
Yes.
I mean, it's literally a work in progress.
Yeah, yeah. And the reminder, because we get up every morning and we go after something every day. Sometimes it feels that way, that we're going after something. We're going after something in the future. And if you can just celebrate your failures and your successes and also enjoy the journey, I think that's a great way we can end this conversation today. We took it a little deep, but I had to because I love that. So, Taiwo, thank you so much for being a guest on Create Magic at Work. I think we brought up a lot of topics that really can get people thinking about different ways to connect in the workplace. So on that note, if people want to hear more from you or want to connect with you, how can they do that?
LinkedIn. You could just click on my LinkedIn and say, hey, what's up?
Okay. So LinkedIn, Taiwo Onibokun, that's Onibokun. And we'll have all of the information to connect with Taiwo in the show notes. And then also information when her book comes out. So you can check that out as well. So Taiwo, thank you for being a guest on Create Magic at Work.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy talking to you, Amy. You are amazing.
Thank you. I'll receive that. I'll receive that. I'm trying.
Receive it.
Thank you.
And then get a virtual hug too. Oh,
thank you. I love it. Hey everyone, it's Amy here. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Create Magic at Work. And please come back often and subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Keep joining us for more exciting episodes where we help you transform workplace culture to systems that create less trauma and stress and have high productivity and profitability. You can get your own tools for the workplace at createmagicatwork.net. I have a new Create Magic at Work, the journal that just released, and it invites you to reflect about different themes for work and your career. Each section of the journal contains a topic, an affirmation, and two prompt questions to help you journal your thoughts. Topics are like inspiring others, mentorship, expansion, and productivity. So connect with me at createmagicatwork.net. Also connect with me on LinkedIn under Amy Lynn Durham. Sending magic to everyone, and see you next time.